Welcome to Music in a New World, a series of half-hour programs which explore the music of ethnic communities across America. Your host for these programs is ethnomusicologist Carl Signell.
In the summer of 1981, I was attracted to the National Folk Festival at the Wolf Trap Farm Park in Northern Virginia. In addition to the usual guitars and banjos and harmonicas, they had announced a late program edition I couldn't resist. The first public performance in America of the Cambodian Classical Dance Ensemble. On the side of the stage, a small orchestra of flute, zither, xylophone, fiddle, percussion, and voice weaves a musical spell. Center stage, beautiful princesses, noble princes, playful monkeys, treacherous priests, and assorted demons and magical animals retell the ancient Ramayana fable in costumes glittering with golds and reds and greens, studded with jewel-like stones. A huge backdrop depicts the greatest glory of Cambodia, Angkor Wat. A few months before, this troupe was languishing in a refugee camp in Thailand. Joe Wilson, director of this festival, traveled to Southeast Asia, where he first encountered the troupe.
Well, I walked into the camp, and things at the camp were much better than they had been a few months before when people were starving to death, dying of dysentery. But still, refugee camps are refugee camps, and I think you almost need to see one before you realize how grim it is. What you have is a group of people in limbo, living in these little grass-sided houses and being fed in cook tents and with ditches for draining off waste. But sitting out in the middle of this refugee camp, these people have built a little performing arts center with their own hands. And across the front it says in English and in French, Khmer Classical Dance. Beautiful musicians on one side and this little stage and this great art up on the stage. It struck me at that moment that art persists even in the greatest of adversity.
How did these people escape from the strict totalitarian regime in Cambodia? One of the musicians, his name is Wan Pok, tells how he fled the capital Phnom Penh on foot with his wife and child and tried to cross the jungle to the border.
It takes a long time, say about from Phnom Penh to Battambang province, altogether about a month. Even I get sick, my wife gets sick, and my daughter gets sick too. Sometimes I put her on my back to cross the forest for the jungle. In the forest, there is nothing. Just go and stop, until I get to the border. Arriving to the camp, I saw the Cambodian classical dance troupe and musician. I come to join them, and we practice all together, we play all together, we dance all together. From that time until we can get to the United States.
Wan Pok's story, retold in English by the ensemble's interpreter, Soy Sara. Through Sara, I was invited to a practice session at the dance troupe's new home in Wheaton, Maryland. The living room where they play is Spartan in furnishings, bare walls, and nothing but a lamp and two large beds on the floor. But they think it's better than the harsh life in Phnom Penh, or the jungle, or the refugee camp. The orchestra played seated on the floor between two beds. Relatives and neighbors wandered in and out. In the dining room, someone listens to a radio. In the kitchen, someone's cooking. And on the two beds near the orchestra, some children are sleeping peacefully through it all. The musicians planned a small demonstration for me to show off the four melodic instruments, fiddle, zither, flute, and xylophone. Each instrument interprets the melody in a different way, so the ensemble texture is heterophonic. The two-string fiddle called tro is held vertically and looks like a Chinese erhu. If you isolated the fiddle interpretation, it might sound like this. Zither is called chake or take. It sits on the floor and is shaped like one of those long boats you see on the canals in Southeast Asia. The zither part might sound like this. Blown flute is called khloi. This musician made his own instrument in the refugee camp by taking the handlebars of a bicycle, straightening them out, and drilling the finger holes. The xylophone is called vignette. The two sides of the xylophone gently curve up in a faint smile, perhaps reminiscent of the curved roofs on the royal palace. I always assumed that only women sang lullabies, but the ensemble interpreter and lead singer, Sai Sara, expertly sang a very nice Cambodian lullaby for me.
Oh, my daughter, please sleep. My honey, don't cry. When you will be grow up, my honey, you will go to school. My honey, you will go to school. My daughter, don't worry about your father. Your father think only working. When you will grow up, you will go to school. You will learn. Your mother go far away. She's not happy because she think of you. Please sleep. Don't cry. Wait for mother come back from market. You will receive something to eat. Please sleep. Please sleep, my honey. Sleep every day. Sleep quietly, my honey. Please sleep. Please sleep, my daughter. Please sleep quietly and peaceful.
The issue that seems to interest people most is over the survival of this dance form. And I think that the Cambodians are showing that they want this form to survive, that they need it, that it's a matter of preserving their own sense of cultural identity in a new environment. And I think that they're going to pull together and do everything that they can to support the continuation of this dance group.
Yeah. lòng chạy ta nàng ơi dương nâng ao dương ơi buồn ngang ơi buồn biển ơi ngang ơi ngang ơi. Thank you.
Cambodian classical dance troupe. A few months ago, they were in limbo, waiting for a way out of a refugee camp in Thailand. Now they found a home in Wheaton, Maryland. When the king was in charge in Cambodia, he provided steady employment for the court dancers and musicians. Temporarily, the ensemble in Wheaton keeps going on various kinds of help from the American government, National Endowment for the Arts, Smithsonian Institution, and the federally supported National Council for the Traditional Arts. For the time being, public assistance pays for them to study English. But soon they'll have to learn the price of freedom in this country and succeed or fail on their own. We welcome comments on this series from you, the listener. Here's the address: Music in a New World, National Public Radio, Washington, D.C., 20036. Once more, Music in a New World, National Public Radio, Washington, D.C., 20036. Deb Lamberton contributes a lot of expertise to the making of these programs. She's the consulting producer. Most of the music recordings made on location were possible because the Center for American Folklife generously loaned professional equipment for this series. Thanks to the Cambodian Classical Dance Troupe of Wheaton, Maryland for their music and kind cooperation. Post-production engineering by Mary Ishnaga. And I'm your host and producer, Carl Signell. Thanks for listening to Music in a New World.
You've been listening to Music in a New World, a series of programs exploring ethnic music in communities across America. The production of this program was made possible through a grant from the Folk Arts Program of the National Endowment for the Arts and with funds provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Music in a New World is distributed by NFCB, the National Federation of Community Broadcasters.